Hello and welcome to Countdown to Eternity with Pastors James Cadiz and Don Stewart. You've seen it all over the news in recent weeks, the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. But what we want to help you today to see is the prophetic implications in all of this, like the diminishing of the U.S. as a superpower. James and Don will draw our attention to that and more as together we count down to eternity.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a new month. It has been crazy, unbelievable, and we are beginning the countdown to eternity yet again for another week, and I am so blessed to be here with the great Don Stewart. We have a lot of stuff to go over. I got to tell you, Don and I actually had to stop our conversation before we started tracking this because we were getting carried away knowing that we needed to do this together. So Don, what say you? We've got a lot of stuff up to talk about.
Okay, James. We start with a very, very sad story. We'll put it into context because a lot's happened since we met last week. The last U.S. planes have now left Afghanistan. We're doing this on Monday, by the way. We're recording this just to let people know, Monday afternoon here in California. Last U.S. planes leave Afghanistan, ending a 20-year war. The final U.S. planes left Kabul on Monday, Pentagon officials said, capping a frantic two-week evacuation effort, ending the longest war in American history, just hours before the deadline that President Biden self-imposed, August 31st withdrawal deadline. Since we met last time, James, we had the horrible bombings there at whatever the guy's name is, Karzai Airport, and 13 Americans died, a number more injured, 170 people died in total of a suicide bomber there. And it's been heartbreaking since then. And, you know, words escape me. None of this should ever have happened. None of it. This is something that was totally predictable with the way they left the facilities by leaving, of course, the taking the soldiers out first, leaving the civilians last, and, of course, the equipment last. And if you wanted to bungle something, you couldn't have done a better job because they have bungled it. And it's... We've got the greatest armed forces in the world, but right now, James, it's kind of sad, I feel, to be an American with this administration, with what's going on.
Well, not to mention the fact that let's add a little bit of insult to injury to literally one of the worst presidents we've ever had in this country's history. But if you are watching us on video, let me just explain for those that are not watching on video, let me explain what I'm actually putting up for everybody to see, because what I am putting up is absolutely reprehensible. And it is a picture of all of the things that got left behind. Let's not talk about the self-respect that was left behind. Let's not talk about superpower status that was left behind. Let's not talk about the Americans that have been left behind. Let's not talk about all of those that have helped Americans that have been left behind. Why don't we just talk very clearly and distinctly about so many of the items that have been left behind as a result of this decision to withdraw. And when I say items, that is the understatement of the world, because what we're looking at here is absolutely brutal. It's reprehensible. So let's go over this really quickly for those of you that are not watching on video, but it is 22,174 Humvees, okay? So just to get you an idea, that's billions. That's $6.5 billion worth of Humvees. 8,000 trucks. We're not talking about pickup trucks. We're talking about troop transport, cargo transport trucks. 634 M117s. Those are also armored type transport vehicles. 162,043 radios. That's walkie-talkies, communication systems. 155 MX Pro mineproof vehicles. 16,035 night vision goggles. 169 M113 armored personnel carriers, 358,530 assault rifles, real assault rifles, not Joe Biden assault rifles, real assault rifles, 42,000 pickup trucks and SUVs, 126,295 pistols, 64,363 machine guns, and 176 artillery pieces. These are the things that shoot out artillery. And then how about helicopters? 33 Mi-17s, 33 UH-60s, which are, by the way, the Black Hawks, right? So that's 33 Black Hawks left behind, 43 MD-530s, 4 C-130 fixed-wing aircraft, 23 314 A-29 Super Tucanos. These are the Embraer EMBs for those of you aviation people. There are 28 Cessna 208s, and don't forget, 10 Cessna AC-208s, those are the strike aircraft versions of that Cessna, all gone in upwards of $100 billion, all being left in the hands of the Taliban, our enemies. I have no words.
Yeah, and James, I just got this message from someone in the know. It says, turns out we left our secure voice equipment on the planes. This is our most advanced communication technology. Now China and anybody else can listen in to our communications. I mean, what in the world's going on here?
We have gotten to the point where we just have to accept the fact that the incompetence of this current president has absolutely left us in the worst place that we can possibly be. And then when I think of the Christian leaders who said this was a better day when we voted for him and all the people that supported him, I mean, look at this. For those of you watching on video, look at this. I'll put this up. This is another disgusting image, but I'll put this up. This is rapper Lecrae that everybody follows on January the 20th. What does he say? Feels good to be on the right side of history. How's it working for you now, Lecrae? How's it working for all the woke pastors that have chosen to accept this nonsense? It's disgusting, and that's the reality of what we're facing right now.
Yeah, and you know, I sent you this, that someone sent to me a screenshot of a conversation last night with U.S. troops, the force to clean up the Hamid Karzai Airport, International Airport, before leaving. They were actually told when the general came in, they were supposed to leave last night, but the general canceled our flight because the base was dirty, so they had to clean it up for the Taliban. Can you believe that?
Oh, I got to tell you, bro, the anxiety level raised when I got that from you. I saw that and I just couldn't believe it. And it just makes me absolutely sick. And the thing that's funny is we know that this is legit. We know that this is something that has actually happened because our mutual friend is somebody who's way connected on a whole bunch of levels for this. He yep. sees this stuff and he knows it, and he knows better than most about the region. And it's just unbelievable to see that things have come to that place. We're not only going to give them our weapons, we're going to leave Americans behind to torture them. We're going to leave lists of who those Americans are.
Yes.
We're going to tell you their locations. We're going to give you Black Hawks that you can hang people from while they're flying. And on top of that, now we're going to make sure that your base is all tidied up so that when you take it over, you can be better at destroying the lives of Americans.
Yes. And now that the Americans have left, I don't know if you saw this message of the Taliban, of the Islamic Emirate, to the Hazara Shiites of Afghanistan. They've got about 10% of the population. We are waiting for the order of our imam. By God, we will not leave your generation on earth. So there's going to be some ethnic cleansing of various different groups there now. James, it's been 20 years they haven't been able to do this. Now they're going to do that, not to mention the Americans, the Christians that are there. I had a text today from our mutual friend, and he's told me, I think I sent it to you, that the church in Afghanistan is already growing maybe tenfold or as much as 50-fold in the last week or two based on what's happened, because these Christians, these brave believers in Christ, are there at their own peril. They're preaching the gospel, leading people to Christ right now, even as we are speaking, and of course it's going to cost many of their lives, but they're not afraid, they're not ashamed. And so the Lord, again, the Iranian church is the fastest growing church in the world per capita. The Afghan church is the second fastest. And so God is working there. And here, of course, is almost the devilish destruction among the work of God here in Afghanistan. And it breaks our heart. But like we said, James, none of this should have happened. You could not plan it better if you want it to be a disaster. It's a total disaster. And we, of course, have story after story. One from Dory Gold, the former Israeli ambassador to the UN. And his story basically says this. He said, the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan empowers global terrorism. Isn't that the truth?
Oh, my goodness, it does. And the thing is, people don't get it. They don't really get it. And that brings us to the subject that me and you have been kicking and screaming about, and me and you have been talking about on a regular basis. And that is the fact that we are literally watching this very principle materialize. And that is the fact we are seeing the diminishment of the United States of America as a superpower. It's beginning to get to the point where it no longer has influence all over the world. It is not the superpower everybody thinks. And I can guarantee you China's going down that road next. They're going to be the next one soon to demonstrate the fact that they are going to be dwindling, because they are taking advantage of this, and that's not going to last too long, because as we know, the Chinese Communist Party doesn't like to play nice with the globalists because they want total and complete domination. And the reality of it is the world will not tolerate it, and eventually we'll begin to see them go by. Although it is very interesting right now that the Chinese is directly condemning the United States of America and coming after them, including condemning the way they've acted in Afghanistan. And I think that's a real surprise, considering the fact that the Chinese are the only nation besides one other, if I remember correctly, that is in good standing in Afghanistan and still have their actual embassies there. I believe the other nation is Russia.
It sure is. And actually, there's a third, and that's Turkey, believe it or not.
Oh, so no kidding.
Yeah, no, I didn't realize that. Turkey is the third nation, and the NATO one, a NATO nation. So again, you can't make this stuff up, can you?
I didn't even know that. I'm finding that out on the air.
Yeah, I read that the other day. I thought, really? Because Turkey is actually, they offered immediately to be able to take charge of the airport for the Taliban. So they're, you know, what we have here, James, let's remind the people, there's something like $3 trillion worth of minerals in Afghanistan. There's the poppy fields, the heroin that's there, the drugs, you know, that are still there. So you think of Afghanistan, some backward place where, you know, people, you know, live in caves and ride around on camels, this and that. It's a very wealthy, rich country. Now, it's an impossible country to conquer because of the high mountain ranges, as it is, the geography is against that. But what's happened now is the Taliban, which are basically everywhere except the far north of the country, have captured about every province. And like we said, what this one imam said, well, now we're going to make the people pay. For 20 years, these other ethnic groups that are there, not to mention the Americans and whoever is left, the British left some of their citizens. It's going to be a bloodbath. And one of the things we worry about too, James, and we'll probably see them, is public executions too. Once the U.S. is gone, believe me, they're going to rub it in right in our face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're already doing it. I mean, we watched it. I mean, I think one of the most heinous demonstrations of a public execution is when you're flying a Black Hawk helicopter. I mean, literally, I mean, you never thought in a million years you would end up seeing them flying a UH-60 Black Hawk where there is somebody that's hanging right below it. We don't know who it was that was hanging. We don't know if it was somebody in the midst of a tribal thing back and forth. We don't know. And the fact that there's somebody that's a member of the Taliban that's actually flying this may be one of the Afghanis that was actually trained to be able to fly it, who are now working with them in fear of retribution or fear of being killed. It's interesting. I think the only comfort and hope that I have is in the fact, well, the Lord is my only comfort and hope, but I have some comfort in knowing that they're not going to be able to keep those helicopters maintained all that long, and they're eventually going to blow up and fall apart. But it's crazy that they are continuing to slap us in the face and show their disrespect and their hatred for the United States of America by doing what they're doing.
Yeah. Again, from our friend who's got the people on the ground there, he said, I heard the Taliban is now paying Afghan pilots $2,000 a week to fly the choppers, the helicopters. Their original pay was $3,000 a month. So they've got a war chest, it seems. So these Afghan pilots who work for us, who work for the West during the time fighting the Taliban, I guess they got the offer. You want to get paid $2,000 a week to fly the choppers, or do you want to not live? It's probably an offer they couldn't refuse here, James. So, and it was interesting what we're talking about. There was a picture of a helicopter, Black Hawk, flying. There was some body hanging on it. Now, whether it was, like you said, a tribal execution or whatever, but it's certainly not going to be the last thing we see along this line.
It's unbelievable. And I look at this and we look at the prophetic implications of all of this. The prophetic implications are quite powerful, right?
Right.
It's something that I just thought is amazing. And, you know, I did a video on this a few days ago that just blows my mind, because in the midst of that, now we're hearing that Syria's foreign minister just finished meeting with Iran's foreign minister, which who would have ever thought that would be the case? I got to give kudos to one of my assistant pastors. I asked him, I said, do you know the significance, why this is so significant? And of course, you would expect him, you know, he's very well versed in Bible prophecy, you know, Dale, and you would expect him to say, oh, well, there's Ezekiel 38 implications and all that. And okay, great. That's very surface level. You're right. But that's not what he told me. You know what he told me? And I was very proud of him. I'm like, oh my goodness, you are thinking. He literally stole the words out of my mouth. He said, hey, you've got two different factions from Islam that are getting together. They're representative. You've got the Sunnis and you've got the Shiites, and they're coming together for a common purpose. And that is the mechanism of domination in the region. And guess who's giving them permission? Who's peeking from the background and watching it and actually orchestrating it all? That's our buddy Putin. Mm-hmm. Can you make this? You can't make this stuff up.
No. And that's a profound point, because Vladimir Putin is basically the glue that holds everything together.
Yes.
We know Ezekiel 38 will be a Russian leader that does that. And Putin's doing that. He's, again, we've talked about that. He's the only leader that talks to every nation there in the Middle East, including Israel. And you're right. What's happening there? the hatred for the West is so intense. They will actually, you know, bind together to destroy us before they'll kill each other afterwards, and probably still in between. But the common hatred there, James, is something that's it's unspeakable, because they really believe that this is what Allah has called them to do, to bring in his caliphate to rule the world. So they each have totally different views on the end times from their Sunni and Shia perspective. But this thing they have in common is the infidels got to go, and we're the infidels.
Well, and the thing that just blows my mind, and it is so significant, and people are not paying attention, and I want them to pay attention. Look at what's also gone on with Russia and Saudi Arabia. When you consider everything that's happened over there, that's also eye-opening. I mean, think about this for a second. Russia and Saudi Arabia just signed an agreement between the two of them where they are now providing mutual security. They're going to be selling arms. Really, Russia's going to be selling arms to Saudi Arabia. And think about why that's significant for a minute. That's basically Saudi Arabia telling the United States of America to pretty much shove all the way out of their way, because what that means is 24% of the armaments that we, the United States of America, sells is to Saudi Arabia. And now Saudi Arabia is going to say, no, we don't care about the F-22s. We're going to start buying MiGs, and we're going to start doing that. And that makes a whole lot of sense, because when Ezekiel 38 happens, it would imply, it would seem as though the nations that object to what Russia is doing seems to have an amicable relationship with Russia, right? It would seem as though they've got a pretty good relationship, because they're going to speak out, but they're not going to act on it, right? And that's how we know there's no superpowers. But the fact that they're not going to act on it, I mean, you would think, how is that going to work? Well, look it. They have a close relationship now. They've already signed it. By the way, that also goes into cutting China out, because now that we know that Saudi Arabia is working closely with Russia, OPEC is basically going to tell China to pretty much shove it, and they're going to tell them to get away. And I think the inconsequentiality, if I can make up that term, China is going to actually grow. It's going to increase. They're going to become so much more inconsequential than they ever have been. People are not really considering it, not to mention the fact that we are well on their way to blaming China. The world is well on their way to blaming China for the current health crisis.
Yeah, and something else, lest we forget, James, is the suicide bombing that took place at the Hamid Karzai Airport, International Airport, happened the same day Joe Biden was supposed to meet with Naftali Bennett, the new prime minister of Israel. I don't know if anyone's put two and two together there.
That's right.
But I think that's profound, because that was supposed to be a big event. You know, the Israel and the U.S. talk with the new prime minister, the new president, all of a sudden had to be postponed for a day and tamped down the time they spent together. But you have two leaders of these countries that are very weak. And that's a nice way of putting it, isn't it? Bennett, his hands are tied because of who his coalition is. Biden, his hands are tied because he's got no ability. He's got no, what else can we say? But bottom line is, Israel, again, we always want to come back to them. Biden said, well, you know, we've got your back. We've heard that from Obama, too, and what happened there. And he's still trying to put this JCPOA together, Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. If that doesn't work, some other type of agreement. Benny Gantz, the defense minister there in Israel, has said, well, we can put together some new plan with Iran. Like they're going to follow something like that, some peace plan. So you got incompetent leaders, which is really interesting, too, James, in both countries, where just a year ago at this time, we had our 45th president there, and Benjamin Netanyahu, in charge of Israel. Say what you want about him, but he defended it for 12 years very, very well. And now look who they got there. Somebody who can't make a move without asking the United States, someone whose coalition says, no, you don't want to bomb Gaza or do this or do that, or we'll drop out. You have to form a new government. And then Joe Biden in the U.S. So weak leadership in the U.S. and in Israel, which is another sign of the end.
Well, amen to that. And I don't know if you noticed or if you saw what was going on, but there was a video that had been released recently, and it was an unbelievable video. It was something like I have not seen in a long time, but this was a video of Joe Biden, and this is no joke, I'm not joking, falling asleep in front of Naftali Bennett in one of their last meetings. And I'm like, goodness gracious, you cannot make this stuff up. The man is literally falling asleep. It's crazy. So his ability to even be able to hang, his desire to want to maintain any semblance of respect towards Israel is completely gone. And we are just watching this happen. And by the way, the hunger that is within the heart of Bennett to want to be able to play nice with the globalists is becoming a real detriment to the nation of Israel, because Israel's going to destabilize over it. And by the way, I'm just saying this. I'm just saying, Ra'am Party, just remember them, okay? Remember, those people are not going to stand for what Bennett's doing. They're going to walk away, and that government is going to fall apart. That formation is going to fall apart, and God knows what's going to happen after that.
Yeah, literally only God knows, James, but it is interesting how the situation on the ground has changed so much. Think about it, in the last 12 months from when we were doing these programs, when COVID was hitting, but we still had a strong president, number 45. We had Netanyahu ruling in Israel. We were feared and respected in the Middle East. Now, 1 year later, it's like we're the joke of the world. And again, story after story, the empire is lost. You know, this is the last days of America. In fact, one Le Monde in the French paper did a series on basically comparing the U.S. to the Roman Empire and its fall, and made a comparison to the two, how U.S. is following the same track as ancient Rome did. And I don't think they're far off of what they're talking about.
Bro, it was a great, when you sent that article to me, I was blown away. I'm like, man, first of all, where does Don find these things? But I was just looking at that and I'm thinking, it's absolutely right, 100%. And again, it goes back to what we talked about last week. We said it, that the United States would become more and more inconsequential. And I've always prayed that the reason why the United States would become more inconsequential was due to the fact that so many Christians came to know the Lord, that when the rapture took place, gone was the United States of America. But it doesn't seem to be happening that way. It seems to be going in another direction, and it's just so sad. But here's I think, the encouragement in all of it. We can be excited as Christians because we know we've got great things coming as a result. Don, we've only got about a minute and a half. Why don't you explain why that is the case?
Yeah, we always end this program with all the bad news, smiling and being very optimistic. And you say why? The reason is we know how this is all going to end, because the Bible tells us that these things were going to take place. They have taken place, just as the scripture said. And we know there's a glorious, a tremendous ending of this. When the world does not destroy itself, armed weapons won't destroy us. Nuclear weapons won't destroy us. Global warming won't destroy us. The Lord Jesus Christ will come back, according to Matthew 24, before we're able to destroy ourselves, before we're about to do it, and set up his everlasting kingdom. And so it's getting down to this, folks. You're either with the Lord or you're not. You're either a Christian or you're not. If you're not a Christian, you have no hope in this life or the next life. If you are a Bible-believing Christian, then Luke 6:46 comes into play. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say?" If there is ever a time, James, for Christians to stand up, it's now, because we are here by divine guidance, by divine design in the last days, for such a time as this, as Mordecai told Esther, to be salt and light. Now, there's few of us, there's not many of us, but we can be vocal, we can be loud, and we need to be loud to preach the gospel and to tell people that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. As Jesus said on the night of his betrayal, "I've told you these things ahead of time before they happen, so when they happen, you might believe." And that's where we're at right now.
Amen and amen, bro. And what a powerful bit of insight. What a word of encouragement. And we do. We have a lot to look forward to. You know, the life we live on this earth is a pretty good life, because we live in one of the greatest countries, or the greatest country ever to exist in this world. And I'm so thankful for God that he's given that to us. We know it's all beginning to diminish. We know the world is beginning to diminish. You know, the encouragement that we have is, even with the good life that we have here, we have a better one coming. And when we begin to see things fall apart, we know that we've got that hope. And it is, what a great word, Don. I could not identify with that more. By the way, I do want to make a recommendation. Go to CalvaryChapelSignalHill.com's website and listen to the Bible study that Don did through Matthew chapter 8 and 9 on our church. He shared on Sunday. He encouraged thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have been downtrodden, and it's been amazing. I would recommend you go listen to that. It's great. It's available for free. It's a great Bible study. Oh, we're out of time. Listen, I got to tell you this. We really do hope that you have enjoyed listening to this or watching this as much as we've enjoyed making it. It is always a great joy of what we get to do. I know Don loves it. And I just got to tell you, it has been a blessing to serve you guys this way. So on behalf of the great Don Stewart, this is James Cadiz. We want to thank you for joining us as we count down to eternity. God bless you.
You're listening to Countdown to Eternity with James Cadiz and Don Stewart. Hear this program again at countdowntoeternity.com. Countdown, the number 2, eternity.com. and it's available wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, we also have a video version of Countdown to Eternity. Look for us on YouTube and Rumble. Subscribe to the Calvary Chapel Signal Hill channel on YouTube to watch us today, and on Rumble under James Cadiz. There is so much going on right now that we couldn't possibly cover it all in a half-hour weekly show. So we'd like to recommend that you follow James Cadiz, Educating Our World, and Countdown to Eternity on Instagram and Facebook, as well as YouTube. Access many helpful resources for free at educatingourworld.com, including Don Stewart's books. Some are now available as audiobooks. Again, it's all free at educatingourworld.com. Have a question for Don and James? Well, they'd love to hear from you. Email it to us at countdowntoeternity.com. That's our website, countdown2eternity.com. And we're also listener-supported. Your gifts help us do what we do each week, and we're grateful for it. To make a donation, visit countdown2eternity.com. That'll do it for this edition of Countdown to Eternity with James Cadiz and Don Stewart. Thanks again for listening, and God bless. And this program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, Signal Hill, and made possible through your generous support.